we've chosen, obviously, is quite apropos. Of course, it is Sfiras HaOmer. And there is a bit of a misnomer, and that is that during the time of Sfiras HaOmer, we are generally tied to Minhagei Avelus. We have different customs, as you know. There are people who started the word Sfiras HaOmer, obviously, is a very happy thing, which we'll get to in a moment. But Sfiras HaOmer is tied to the Avelus for the students of Rabbi Akiva, as we know. And that is basically a machlokas when exactly that time is. If you hold from the minhag of the Arizal, you're in a little bit of trouble. You hold the entire time. The Arizal's minhag was that since we don't know when are those 33 days, might as well just be machmir. You could take a break for Lag BaOmer, Shloshes Mei Hagbala maybe even before from Rosh Chodesh, but that's basically it. I think the most prevalent custom is, and because it works out nicely with Chol HaMoed, is that it starts from the first night of Sfiras HaOmer, the second night of Pesach, and from then on, we have Nehugei Avelus until Lag BaOmer if you're Ashkenaz, and if you're Sfardi, the one little thing they have, maybe because of the fact that they're eating kidneys the whole week, so they wait until Lag BaOmer in the morning. We have a concept in Halacha called Mixas HaYom Kekulo, which essentially means that we, as Avelus, this is supposed to be 7 days, but it's not really 7 days. The morning of the seventh day, we get up from Shiva, Rachmana Lesson, if somebody's sitting Shiva. So the same thing here. A little bit of a misnomer, what exactly the night is. Why it is that at night, if you go up to Miron, they're partying. If it's really Mixas HaYom Kekulo, really the Nehugei Avelus end in the morning. So this is a bit of an interesting point. The question is, what are the minhagim of Avelus? And to this, I want to just point out, first and foremost, so I'm a student of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and Baruch Hashem, thanks to my father. And for me, the way that halacha worked is that as we'll be quoting Rav Yosef Dov, his brother, his yurtzeit is this evening, there has to be paradigms. Halacha has to be something that is written and is not necessarily added onto. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik pointed to the first source over here, and even though this is not exactly what our discussion is about saying a Shachianu, I wanted to point it out to show a mark and important difference of Sfiras HaOmer versus the 3 weeks. Many people think they're the same. Whatever I can't do during the 3 weeks, I can't do during Sfiras HaOmer. We'll see if that's in fact true. So says the Shulchan Aruch in the Halachas of Pesach, Tav Tzad Gimel, Noagim Shalolisa Isha Ben Pesach La'atzeres, Ad Lag BaOmer. There is a custom, says the Shulchan Aruch, for a person not to get married from Pesach La'atzeres. Mipnei Sheba Oso Zman Meitu Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. This is the time, as we pointed out, that the students of Rabbi Akiva passed away. Aval La'areis U'lekadesh. However, to get engaged, like I did 21 years ago this evening, to my lovely wife who's here. Thank you. I know, surprising she stayed with me. And avala aresu lekadesh, right? Ishapir dami, noisim nami. We don't allow getting married. Again, we're not talking about, obviously, during this time, you wouldn't be able to get married during Chol HaMoed because of ein marvin simcha besimcha. But during this time, we don't get married. Fine. Haga, umi umi lag BaOmer ve'elech, hakol shari, everything's allowed. Says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, point number one. Shulchan Aruch is quite clear. What's usher here? You can't get married, right? Doesn't apply to so many people in the room, right? Maybe not. But this is not the time to get married. Okay. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said, that's fine. But where did everything else come from? And that's what I kind of want to focus on, of understanding it. The Mishnah Berurah does point out here in source number two, he says, Ratz lamar ve'ein roi laharbot besimcha. There's a reason why we shouldn't be extra happy. This is a time, it's very symbolic that during this time, as we'll get to in a moment, where we're counting up to Sfiras HaOmer, we're counting to Matan Torah, the students of Rabbi Akiva, lo nahogu kavod zeh bazeh, they couldn't get along with each other. It's a time for us to reflect. And during that reflection time, so simcha should be not as much as usual. But what happens if something happens? So he's asking here the famous question about Shachianu. Now, I have to point something out. It's my own personal belief. I'm happy if you argue on this. You could be wrong. I could be wrong. Question is, do we really say Shachianu nowadays? is this something that we actually do? Meaning, when do we say Shachianu? So the most famous Shachianu of the whole year is when? When do everybody say Shachianu? No question about it, is when? What? Rosh Hashanah. Everybody's got to have the new fruit. You got to go out, and you know, nowadays, if you live in America, you're very lucky. You go to any little fruit market there, you can get the most, I was going to say delicious, but usually that's not the way that it works. You buy a fruit, and you're patur the Shachianu because Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Arichta. It's considered to be one long day. We're not really sure whether or not you should be Shachianu on the second day, because maybe really it's one long day. So what happens? So you get this fruit that you never heard of before, you say, oh, this is so exciting. Look, I got a Chinese pineapple, whatever, I don't know. And at least in my house, the way that it works is, we cut it up, I make Kiddush, and I say, this Shechianu is going to be for the new fruit, and the new fruit's on the table, and then we all eat the delicious new fruit, and it turns out it's not delicious, and everybody spits it out. So what's the Shechianu about? Do we normally make a Shechianu on new fruits nowadays? Regular day, right? Today, all of a sudden, you go downstairs to dinner, and they're serving the most delicious dessert you ever saw, a fruit you never saw before. You ask, what is this fruit? Oh, this is something very special. Do you make a Shechianu on it?
Yeah.
Right? Well, yeah. So you say, yes, I do. What's the reason why Shechianu? The simcha. There's a simcha. A person goes ahead and buys himself, let's say, a new suit. That's another great example. He buys himself a new suit. So I say, it depends who you are. There are some people who, for work, buy new suits every month. Right? If you're someone who really buys a suit and you don't buy it very often, and you get yourself a suit for your son's bar mitzvah, and you have a lot of simcha over that, and Baruch Hashem, your zocha, you could afford it, so you make a shachianu, you're right. There are others that argue, there's no real simcha today. Our suits now became very disposable. We don't use suits, we don't, okay. So that's a question whether or not we say shachianu. Is there a real simcha in the shachianu or not? That is a very, very valid question. Says the Mishnah Berurah, so what happens? It's all of a sudden during Sfiras Omer. And now I'm nervous. Maybe I shouldn't say Shechianu or not. Why? Because the Simcha. So says the Mishnah Berurah, there's no choice. What are you going to do? I'm going to save now for 33 days. I'm going to save this fruit. It's never going to last. So he says that would be Mutter. And this is based on what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, not in Halachas of Sfiras Omer, but the Halachas of Tisha B'Av, which is the 3 weeks. Tov Lizar, Milomer Shechianu B'Ben HaMetzarim. He says it's better for us not to say during the 3 weeks a Shechianu on a new pri, or malbush, or on a new suit, let's say. However, when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, for example, he goes, obviously, there's no choice there, right? You didn't plan on this, that 30 days you make a Shechianu, that's fine. Here in Eretz Yisrael, at a Bris Milah, the custom of Eretz Yisrael is everybody says a Shechianu, as opposed to outside of Eretz Yisrael, Ashkenazim don't make a Shechianu. That Shechianu you could say as well. But what happens, says the Shulchan Aruch, if you're not going to find this fruit, you're not going to be able to find it after. It's come here today. Here in Eretz Yisrael, this is very common. This is a discussion I had with one of my rabbeim, Rabbi Savolovsky, where he thought that nowadays you don't really say Shechianu on fruit anymore. Because there's no simcha, because you can go into any Korean fruit market and get any fruit you want, whenever you want. So I said, it's what we call a machlokes and metzius. I said, Rabbi Savolovsky, with all due respect, here in Eretz Yisrael, that's not true. I can't walk into a supermarket right now or a fruit store of the like, and let's say I can't get cherries. I can't find cherries anywhere. Why? Because there's markets here. And the way that it works, it's seasonal, our fruit. They actually started now growing in Eretz Yisrael pineapples. 5 years ago, they had very little. They were to import. You can't find strawberries just came out. It's only a few months old. So we have seasons, oh note, right? So there I thought, and he agreed with me, and he says, you're right. So there you should be a Shechianu. When my kids see, the cherries are going to come out in a few weeks from now, that's very exciting. That maybe gets a Shechianu. But if he's not going to be able to have it in a few weeks from now, so everybody agrees. Comes along with Rav Avad Yosef, and Rav Avad Yosef gets, if you will, upset. And he says, why are we making a why do we think the 3 weeks and Sfiras Omer are the same time? They're totally not. Here's what he writes in source number 5, and this is really important. Ulam, la'achar hitbonanut, nira, she'esh chilek gadol, Bein Yimei Ben HaMetzarim Limei Yisfir. There is a huge difference between the morning days of the 3 weeks and the morning days of Sfirat HaOmer. And he says, Ki Yimei Ben HaMetzarim, during the 3 weeks, She'ira Bo Chorban Beis HaMikdash V'Shaparanios, many bad things happened during that time, including, of course, the leading into the destruction of both Batei Mikdashot, and he says, Mevura Mishas Matanis, Heim Yimei Ason, they're bad times. Klali, La'am Yisrael. We learn that Mishenichnasav mematim besimcha is not only because of what happened, it's because a person should be careful during that time. If he can, he should avoid going to court during that time. He shouldn't go to basin during that time. He says, and therefore, how can you say the words, he writes, Memela ein makam levarach shechiyonu viki mongnu vikiyonu lazman hazeh. It's not a good zman. Thank you, God, for reaching this day, this time. It's not a good time. Bizman shalom laparanios. It's a bad time of the year. But, says Rav Vadi Yosef, let's not forget the Ramban. In a few weeks from now, we'll read Parshas Emor. Aval yemei asvira eina nechshavim yemei peronios. Adarabah, the opposite. Kos of haRamban, shekedushas yemei asvira kimei chol hamoed. The Ramban writes so poetically how the days that we're in now is so special because they're like a long chol hamoed. Right? We're in chol hamoed now, Pesach, but then there's an extra chol hamoed that we're counting towards readying ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah. And it's a great, happy time. It's wonderful. So he says, how can you draw the distinctions? Now, let's admit the honest truth, which is the Svardim don't know anything from the 3 weeks, and they don't know anything for Sfiras Omer as much as we do. According to the Svardim, there's no such thing as the 3 weeks, meaning they have very little things that they're not allowed to do. Their machmir, as the Shulchan Aruch here says, not to get married, but almost everything else, they never heard of that. As we know, some Svardim eat meat until Shvur Shechalbo, right? Which this, you know, last year was, could potentially have been, right, that comes up this year too, one day. They're very lucky. But Rav Avadi Yosef says that this doesn't make any sense. He doesn't care what other people want to say. He doesn't care that everybody seems to say that they're the same. He says they're not the same. Fine. So the first thing that I want to discuss is...
Oh, yeah, wait, well, yeah, even yeah. That, because he's Sephardi, they don't really have the Mesorah of what we have. Crusades. This is a heavy
very good
crusades of
Sphira. Right. So others want to argue, that's correct. So others want to argue, very good. One of the reasons why the famous machlokas, I love how in shuls, you know, they say, well, what do we say by, you know, Motzei Shabbos, last Motzei Shabbos here in Eretz Yisrael, at least there was a big machlokas. Do you say by Yinom or not? The minhag in America, I think, is everybody just follows the luach and nobody says anything. In Eretz Yisrael, there's two luachs that say two different things. Oh, it was a huge fight. It was so what's the minhag? The minhag is to fight about it, right? That's the minhag. That's the minhag. The minhag is we fight about it. Every year we fight, the same thing happens. So what happens now? You can have Ava Rachamim. You have the same story. Ava Rachamim was created because of the times that we're in now, during the Sfiras HaOmer times, as we correctly said, when the Crusades happened. Unfortunately, we're seeing from current events, right, taking the opposite way now, but Easter time was when the Christians were preaching certain things here now. Unfortunately, we've seen the opposite, where now the Muslims are coming out, and they're the ones who are, but it used to be, Easter was the time where they preached what they preached, and then there were pogroms right after Pesach. That's exactly what happened. So that's correct. So maybe it's an historical fact. Rav Avadia said, it doesn't affect us as much. And the Peronios are not only because of Rabbi Akiva's Peronios. It's interesting. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik wanted to learn something different. There's one Rishon that said the following thing. This is remarkable that Rav Aaron was able to find this Rishon. So he said, I believe it was Rabbeinu Manoach, who says the following amazing thing. He says, no. The whole reason why we don't get haircuts, which we'll get discussed in a second, we don't get haircuts, and we don't get married, is nothing to do with Avelus. It's the opposite. It's Chol HaMoed. There's a big machloikas, right? Whether or not, right? We say during Chol HaMoed, you're not supposed to get haircuts, right? Even if you hold from the second days of Sfira, you shouldn't get a haircut during that time. We don't get married during Chol HaMoed, right? Emarim Simcha B'Simcha. But says Rav Aaron, there was an original takana before this came up, because these are the days of Chol HaMoed. We need to concentrate on this. Right, Rav Aaron actually told me that he had a grandchild who got married during this time, and they went to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. They said, "We know your custom. You know how it is. So before, what do you hold from?" Rav Aaron held the entire Sfiras HaOmer. He held you couldn't get married, but he said he would go to the wedding. Right, his grandchild wanted to get married, so he said, "Okay." He understood that wasn't the normative shita, but it correctly said it could be that the Ashkenazim are more sensitive to the sad part of this because of historically what happened during this time. However, it has to be pointed out that Sfiras HaOmer is a colloquial term we use. We think about Oat Sfira, you can only do this during Sfira. It's not really fair to say that, because it's a very, very holy and special time. So let's talk about music and movies. This is also, to me, very fascinating, because obviously the more modern forms of music and movies only came up, obviously, you know, certainly movies. You know, the joke I like to say, this is a joke, so please don't take it the wrong way, is that somebody went to Rav Moshe Feinstein, And they asked him a good question, right? Those that, from what I've heard, it's very easy access to Rav Moshe Feinstein. People would call him on the phone. So this person came to Rav Moshe and said, "Nu, Rebbe, is it mutter to go to the movies during the 3 weeks?" Rav Moshe emphatically said, "It's usher." And as he was walking out, he said, "Oh, and by the way, it's also during the 52 weeks, right?" The joke is that it's a hard topic to discuss because when we'll get to movies, I don't know, is movies, certainly nowadays, are there any movies that are actually, you know, okay to watch? And we'll discuss why there is this. So let's look at the source. Source number six. Says the Shulchan Aruch again, "Vein osim noshin," as we said, "vein osim sudas erisim." We don't do a sudas. So even though I was allowed to get engaged during Chol HaMoed in this case, we'll see in a moment, almost all the poskim agree that Chol HaMoed cancels the Avelis part of Sviras Omer. So therefore, if they decided last night, for example, there was live music, right? Gershom Varoba was downstairs. How can he play music at Sviras Omer? I'll listen to live music, right? Because of the Simcha of Yontif, the only machlokas there would be, I don't know how this would be created, but if there was some sort of event that we could create that wasn't for Simcha reasons, right? You're just going, a person wanted to go to a jazz club. So that would be the only question, whether or not that would be allowed or not. That would be the only question. But says the Shulchan Aruch over here, why is it? I'm allowed to get engaged, but I can't have the party. That we don't do this, says the Rama. What? Right. So this is talking about during the 3 weeks, right? For sure. You're correct. Comes along the Magen Avraham, again, except for Rav Avad Yosef, everybody makes the connection between the two, including the Ramah here. Veich lahachmir, we don't get married during the 3 weeks, right? Because the Shulchan Aruch, as I said, only held of it from Rosh Chodesh Av. So comes along the Magen Avraham. This is the most famous Magen Avraham. You got to know this Magen Avraham if you're one who doesn't like to listen to music during Sviras HaOmer or during the 3 weeks. Why? So he says, first of all, the Shulchan Aruch writes, you can always get engaged. You know why you're allowed to get engaged always? Shema shelo yikamenu acher. Right? A great story. You found the greatest love of your life. And now you want to, quote unquote, chop her up. You want to get engaged to her. And now you say, oh my God, but I can't get engaged to her. The Gemara says, even on Tisha B'Av you can get engaged to her. Why? You're afraid that if you don't pop the question now, what's going to happen? Your roommate's going to come and go, hey, you want to marry me? And she's going to say yes to that, and you're going to lose your opportunity. So we always allow that. Says the Magen Avraham, okay, so why, if you're allowed to get engaged, why can't you do... So mikomakom nearly to asur la'asoy suda afilu bilo rikudim umachalot. So he says that, you know what's really asur here? You can't even make a suda, he says, again, during Sviras Omer proper. But what's really asur, right, is rikudim and machalot. What's rikudim and machalot? Dancing. Dancing. The Magen Avraham was the first to come onto the scene and say there's a problem with, this has nothing to do right now yet with music, although we could ascertain that that's what we're talking about. He says that the issur really here during Sviras HaOmer is we don't want to be overly happy. What happens when a person starts dancing? So when he starts dancing, he starts to lose himself a little bit, which is a good thing for simcha reasons. But you're supposed to be concentrating on the avelos of the students of Rabbi Akiva or the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. That's not good. So therefore, when it comes to a great event, I caution you, says the Magen Avraham, that you can't have it. There is actually a difference that's quoted in Halacha, the difference between the two. What's the difference between, he says that both are not allowed. Machalot rikudim, according to some, is dancing between two people. Just two people having a rikud. Machalot, a machal, right, as we have the Gemara says, ocho machalach tzadikim is a circle. To make a circle, that's going to be a problem. Now, it's actually an interesting thing whether or not that's halachically called, you know, dancing and how that would answer itself. This comes up because you could have the following case. You could have in the middle of Sviras HaOmer, right? Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this question. I want to have, it's a great time to have a dinner for a staka. Why? Because you know this is the one time of the year nobody's getting married, right? The dinners have the hardest time where they make a dinner on a Sunday and it turns out three people are getting married that day. And nobody comes to the dinner. So this is going to be a great idea. Do it during the 3 weeks of Sviras HaOmer. What's the problem? It's going to be a really sad dinner, right? You can't have any music or not. So Rav Moshe was asked this question, and Rav Moshe says, no, even though it's a nice thing, it's not called a Sudas Mitzvah, but Rav Moshe says, what happens if there's a Siyum? It does it to a Siyum. So normally when I go to a Siyum, right, so some Siyums at least, I have a friend who did a Siyum Hashas, and he brought a one-man band, and they had... They had singing and dancing after. Very nice. You go to some of those events. So Rav Moshe says, if that's what you normally do, so during Sefirat Omer, even during 3 weeks, he says, that would be not only mutter to do, the person should do that. He should not stop himself from doing that. There is a question, obviously not for our discussion today, but during the 9 days, when it's the most famous time to do a Siyum, right? Everybody's running to Siyums then. So there's a question whether or not a person should be dancing or not, right? That's the 9 days. It's a little bit different. It's reported that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was against this. He thought that that's not appropriate, where Eliyashiv says that he thought it was quite appropriate because it's showing the Simcha of the Torah. We shouldn't take away from the Simcha of the Torah. I saw Rav Chaim Kanievsky says the same thing. So that is an interesting point. So this all stems from this Magen Avraham. Really, I mean, literally, that's where it comes from. Comes along the Minchas Yitzchak, if you turn your sides over, source number 8. The Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss. I don't, Chas V'Shalom, want to make light of it, but to me it is by far one of the most interesting tshuvas to look at, because we haven't said anything yet about music or anything. He was asked this question, Mutra Lasois Bimeas Svira Studus, Marmikal Klei Zemer, Believer Kudim Machalot, just have a concert or something like that. Tshuva. V'hine Zeh. Suffolk Minuk Shalo Lidhanuk Mikle Zemer, Bimea Sphira, the Godel Karcha Minuk. There's a Minuk. It's a Minuk. Ready for this? Ah, the Irilidu Nogea Beisudoraisa, the Havekamo Neder. So, what happened to all of us? Right? Until we heard this year today, we thought, you know, I'll listen to music. That's like a serious thing. And we thought it was a Minuk or Dinder Rabbanan. And the fact that we weren't listening to music all these years, and now we found out the truth that really it's a little bit lighter, and it's only a minhag, but we accept it upon ourselves, and that's an Issa Daraisa, says the Minchas Yitzchak, as the Chassam Sofer famously writes about a minhag, right? A minhag, the minhag has the same lashon, has the same letters as Gehenim, right? It could be for good, it could be for gad, meaning there are some minhags that are just not real minhagim. You can't say, well, you know, that's my minhag. I text on Shabbos, that's my minhag. That's not a minhag. But there are minhagim that are so powerful, says the Magen Avraham, like listening to music. There's no way you're allowed to do that, right? That's what he writes. And therefore, he says that listening to music during Sefirat Omer is so chamor, this is the most extreme view I've ever seen, that if you listen to music, a minhag, you're creating an Issa Daraisa because you accept it upon yourself, even though you didn't know any better. Very, very difficult. Rav Moshe was also asked this question, very common, where people get married right before the 3 weeks start, right? So now you have Sheva Brachas. And many people at Sheva Brachas have live bands. So that's where Rav Moshe writes this. Rav Belsky as well says that you're allowed to have a band there, you're allowed to have dancing, because that's the Simcha of the Chasana Kala. It's all about what do you do normally? And if it's a Suda like that, so seemingly everybody would agree that that would be mutter. Now, yeah.
Can you say that the music issue is somewhat comparable to your new food issue, which is,
yeah,
in those days, the only time you had bands, it wasn't like you'd listen to your radio all the time.
Right.
So it's less simcha.
Excellent. Excellent. Very good. That's probably the core of the answer. And that is Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this question. Rav Moshe, in a number of tshuvas, I didn't quote here, but a number of tshuvas, Rav Moshe is very against the music. But Rav Moshe brings up something else. The Gemara tells us that really, one of the takanos of remembering Chorban Beis HaMikdash is some things that we normally do. Some of the things we do is, quote unquote, because it's easier. Everybody breaks the glass under the chuppah, that's easy. Some follow, put the ashes on the head, that's a little bit more. Some people, Baruch Hashem, in my home here in Eretz Yisrael, we have a dalet al dalet that says, you know, Yimishkachech Yushalayim. That, one of the things, right, women are not supposed to wear as much jewelry. Okay, that's not followed so much. But then you have other, and one of them is, you know, listen to music. But there's a machlokes in the Gemara where the Rama actually says, that's only what's called, right, Sudas Malachim. Used to be, then the morning, they didn't have alarm clocks in those days, right? Like David HaMelech, except he had the winds blowing. There was someone who wake them up in the morning with a nice music, and it would make them up, make them happy, and so on and so forth. Nowadays, and this is a very interesting fact, Rav Moshe seemingly says that, okay, I understand the whole year it's too hard for you, but during this time of the year, and he was talking then about definitely the 3 weeks, this is the time we're remembering the Chorban HaBayis. Come on, you got to at least do it then. And in fact, that, I think, makes a lot of sense. And in fact, his grandson, Rav Shabtai Rappaport, who's the Rosh Hashiva in Bar Ilan, so he had an article in Tchumim, where he says that he spoke to his grandfather about this a lot. He wrote the later Chalakim of the Igros Moshe that was written after Rav Moshe passed away. And he says that his grandfather said everybody agreed, even though they said that, oh, Rav Moshe was the strictest on this. He says, but background music or slow music, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes about this. I'm listening to music to get me in the mood. I want to hear a song about Yerushalayim, Rachim, or I want to hear Adarabah so I could remember the students of Rabbi Akiva that I have to say, Bilibeinu Lahavin, let it look at. Of course, that's mutter. We're talking about music that's going to get you dancing. That's what's. So that's why later poskim talk about the live versus the not live. We don't have time to go delve into that, but that would be this machlokes.
Also,
yeah.
During the 3 weeks,
yeah.
They don't play musical instruments.
Right.
We do voices.
So I gave a whole different shiur. You can go on to YUTOR if you want to see the shiur. It's about only on about a cappella. I don't know how this was invented. I'm pretty sure I know how it was invented. It was invented so that the music industry could make money. And they found some posek who didn't understand so well. But the Tzitz Eliezer and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, many years ago, Rav Yosef Chaim Zannenfeld was asked this question about something called the gramophone, the original thing they wanted to play in Yerushalayim. There's a minhag not to play music at a wedding in Yerushalayim. Some people only play drums. And they wanted to bring in this gramophone. Imagine nowadays, I don't know if you've ever been to these simchas nowadays, where they only have a DJ. It sounds exactly that. I wouldn't even know the difference, right? Some of them is even better. So nowadays to say that, he said, now what is the guy doing? He's not, he's his voice, but they have people that are, you know, they have, you know, he's going, or whatever he's doing with his, it sounds the same. Right, am I going to get up and dance? So many poskim don't understand where exactly this came from and why this would be allowed. And again, the majority of poskim, I'm going to tell you the truth, say you're not allowed to listen to music during Sfiras Omer, you're not allowed to listen to music during the 3 weeks. However, I want to be intellectually honest. If you skip for a moment to source number 11, we're going to get to shaving in just a moment, the last few minutes we have. Says Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, your tzad, as I said, is this evening, says the following thing, and this is really important. Rav Soloveitchik was very into something called the paradigm. You can't wake up one morning and make a new halacha. Rav Soloveitchik was so upset about this. You can't do that. So he says it has to be that you have to find me a paradigm for this avelus. So the famous, we'll say it outside, but says... the Rav, in the Rav Shechter Sefer Nefesh HaRav, V'chein hisper sheminag avelus miyudzayin betamas ve'elech hu bechinat avelus yud bechodesh. He says, what happens is the opposite of real avelus. Real avelus, right, when we say meitav mutu lefanav, when it's raw, so what do we go right into? The state of aninus. Aninus is the most extreme. We're not allowed to say brachas, we're not allowed to wear tefillin. And then we go to shiva, which is less extreme, then we go to Shloshim, and then we go to the year of Avelos. Says Rav Soloveitchik, it's the opposite when it comes to the 3 weeks. We start with what would be the minhagim of the year of Avelos. We then go to Rosh Chodesh, which we're more machmir, like the 30 days, right, would be Shloshim. And then Tisha B'Av itself is a kind of a mix of Avelos. We sit on the floor mamish, right, and a little bit of aninus as well. We don't wear tefillin in the morning, which is a beautiful paradigm, beautiful. Now, according to that, what would happen? You have chumras and non-chumras. Now we're going to get to shaving in a moment. When it comes to music, there are some, right, some poskim, like Rabbi Willig took this, the Rosh Hashiva in YU, Rabbi Willig said, this is exactly what Rav Soloveitchik was talking about. Who says that during the year of Avelus, you're not allowed to listen to music? Dancing is not allowed. You know, the whole problem the Magen Avraham had was what? Going to Sudas, going where they're going to have music and there's going to be a lot of people there. That's different. And that could be the Isser again when we speak about movies. To be able to watch a movie privately, I'm not posking now, I'm not posking at any time, but to go to privately and to get a Netflix, that's not what I'm talking about that. To go to a movie theater, so maybe that's, I don't know who invented this isser of going to movies during the three, but that's not so appropriate. So then what would be the difference? I have students who ask me this question, why can't I go to a baseball game? You're right, maybe you can't go to a baseball game either. Maybe it's something that we shouldn't, our mind should be focused on this.
Rav Shechter has this concept, yeah. It's a term he called, and I like it, it's called the ethos. It's a part of it is common sense.
Right.
You have to know what in your own mind, hashkafically, what makes sense that
right.
really is and what
right.
is the ethos
right.
of the bits.
Right. Rav Osher Weiss likes to use the word Ratzon HaTorah. Is this what God? The example I give all the time, but I'll give it anyway. Is that it's now 3 o'clock in the morning and you're on the plane. It's El Al. You know, minion. Let's go. Brochus. And now everybody's. What are you waking me up for? I was on a flight once, unfortunately. I take United only because I don't like Jews. I like United, but it was a flight. It was Erev Lag Bomer. So the whole flight was Hasidim. They actually made an announcement. United allowed this. They made an announcement. The announcement said, please don't get up to Daven Shacharis. Each section of the plane is going to have their own minion. I was like, wow, this is, they're forcing me to be religious. This is unbelievable. So Rav Schechter writes about this, and he says, this is usur. He says, you're not allowed to wake up another person. This is what we call ruchim atar. Oh, but I have to daven a minyan. Nah, doesn't work that way. So here, Rav Soloveitchik might allow during the year of Avel, so a person to listen privately to music and so on and so forth, and that's where it comes from, and that's where the haircuts and shaving comes. Because the Ramah writes, Tisporas Nogim Lahachmir, you're not allowed to get a haircut. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein famously said this, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said this as well. Wait a minute. I want to be Machmir on myself, and I want to make an interpretation, which might be correct or not, which is the word Tisporet generally means cutting of the hair. The Mishnah uses the word Tisporet and Giluach. It says nothing about shaving. Now, we know the famous Juven source number 10 of Rav Moshe Feinstein. It tells us that for work, for hefsed, this is only a minog, and therefore a hefsed would be mutter. People took Rav Moshe's Juven and say, no, he meant hefsed merubah, only if you're really going to lose your job, try it and see what happens. I'm not going to discuss that. As I've had this conversation with Rav Reuven Feinstein, who he says, yeah, many people like to say what my father says, or so on and so on. And he's told me straight out, some svarim, I'm not going to quote their names, that what was written there, my father never, ever said. Sometimes the sefer, let's say it was an art school sefer, where they quote Rav Moshe's Pesachim, he sat with my father until 2 o'clock in the morning. Rav Moshe was so tired already, he didn't know, he says, it's yes, right? The answer is yes, and he nodded his head. I could give you a few examples, not for now. This might be taped, I don't want to, But Rav Moshe here does say, you're right, for work it's allowed. But the Rav Soloveitchik says, what do you mean for work it's allowed? He says that, not that he would agree with Rav Moshe, but he says, it's the year of Avelis, so are you allowed to shave? 100%. Shloshim, you're not allowed to. That's different. You want to tell me from Rosh Chodesh, that's different. But during Sefiras Omer, person's allowed to. Haircuts, not allowed. That's the year of Avelis. Because we have a concept called Ach Yigro Bo Chaveiro. And that's a different time. That's what he says. Comes along Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says the following, and this is actually based on the Torah of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik as well. And I apologize that this is an area, unfortunately, I do not follow my Rebbe on, although the last few years I've had a beard anyway. But his son, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who Baruch Hashem I'm close with, who lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh with me, he's a Rav in a shul there, he says, I have a tape. I don't know if you all know what tapes are. My kids don't know what tapes are. A tape for you to listen of my father. If you listen to the tape, you would shave L'chavod Shabbos. Why? Because the Tosfos in source number 12 says something beautiful. What happens in the following case? Tisha B'Av falls out on Thursday. Right? Tisha B'Av could fall out on Thursday. He says, Avohecha dechal Tisha B'Av behei b'Shabbos mutter l'kavesh ulisaper michatzois mibnei kavod Shabbos. You're allowed to get a haircut and do laundry already on Tisha B'Av itself. There's an issur of rechitza, you're allowed to. Okay, many poskim tay, the Mishnah Berurah, what?
Tisha B'Av itself from
Chatzot.
On Wednesday night.
What? No, your Wednesday night was Tisha B'Av. Now it's Thursday, it's still Tisha B'Av. From Chatzos. Yeah, says the Gemara, it's based on the Gemara in Tanis, but says Tosfos, L'chavod Shabbos. Now, why don't we follow it today? Well, the Mishnah Berurah does quote this, because we don't do laundries the same way they do laundries in those days. It used to take hours and hours, and there used to be lines. But technically, if you knew that there was such a long line, you live in Teaneck, New Jersey, and you know there's only, four haircut places, and everybody took the lines, and there's a sniff l'hakel. Certainly at night, for sure there's a sniff l'hakel for a person to get a haircut. We allow that L'chavod Shabbos. Says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, how are you allowed to be machmir and say, I think that haircuts and shaving are the same thing. Therefore, I'm not going to shave. And what's going to happen? Comes Shabbos and say, hey, that's not fair to me. What happens to the covenant of the Shabbos? I shave every day normally, right? You take someone who shaves every day. But I want to be machmir ourselves. He says, that's not appropriate. How are you a person allowed to do that? And Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, again, he doesn't write this in the name of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was also very machmir. It said, you have to show the covenant of Shabbos, you shave. This would come up, halacha l'maisa, if you're following Rav Moshe's Pesach, and now you have somebody who, for work, shaves every day, and now Friday comes, and he's allowed to work from home. So now Friday comes, he works from home, and now he says, well, I can't shave today, I have no heter. It would be a very interesting, what a person would actually be allowed to do. Just finally, I'll tell the last story, the Davin Meirev now. There's a great story that's told us, a true story, in the name of Rav Avram Shapiro, the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz Harav. He had a student who had a date during Sefiras Omer, a hot date with a girl he wanted to go out with. He really, really was interested in her. And he had one problem. He looked horrible. It had been whatever days, and he looked horrible. And he knew the girl, everybody's looks are important. So he says, what should I do, Rebbe? He says, especially yeshiva bachrim. I heard this from, based on Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rav Meir Goldbach quotes, says especially yeshiva bachrim should not shave during this time, he says, because the students are, you're a student. Just that time you should honor special avelos because you're a student. He said, I know, Rebbe, but this might still the shidduch, am I? He says, okay, fine. And he gave him a hefter. And he shaved, and they had the most wonderful time. Everything was, as we say, ice galton. It was beautiful. It was great. Calls the shadchan and says, I'm sorry, he's not interested in going out with you again. He says, it's impossible. What are you talking about? She says, you're not from, obviously. You shaved during Sefiras Omer. She says, you can't take that, no matter what. So we see from here, there are many different shitas. I think we have to be halachically fair with each other, know what haterim, what are not haterim. And the bottom line is the bottom line. We should be concentrating on what is important during this time. What's important during this time is to think about how we can make up for the sinas chinam that there was during Sefiras Omer. It's the same during the 3 weeks. It's the same exact thing as well. We have to figure out, and that's more important than anything else. And that, if a person wants to be a little bit more mako and listening to music, but he's going to be nicer to his friend, I think l'kulei amo lo pligi, everybody would agree, that's the way to go. Go ahead.